Hello, and welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. I'm John Hare, substituting for our host and founder, Charles Showalter. Happy to be here. Happy to be talking to people interested in labor and people active in labor unions and people that want to become union members. That's what Labor's Talk Radio is all about. And if you don't hear us in one of the 20-some radio stations across the country, go to theunionedge.com. Take a look at it. You can download podcasts from all of our programs, or you can hook in and listen live with from your mobile device, theunionedge.com. And now our guest is Jared Holt from Media Matters. Jared, I understand from the article we've scanned that you've been an acute observer of the conventions, the Republican convention in specific. Tell us what's going on.
Well, hey, John. We've had really close eyes on the convention last week, and we're watching the Democratic convention really close this week. But there was a lot of crazy stuff coming out of right-wing media last week.
I'll say.
Yeah. There was one specific that happened last night during the Democratic convention that I kind of want to highlight because it was just a little bit more crazy than some of the others.
Great.
So last night on Bill O'Reilly, Fox was doing the live coverage of the Democratic National Convention, and they had some guests on there, and they were talking about how the first night of the Democratic convention compared to the first night of the Republican convention. And one of the talking heads on Fox said something about how the first night of the Republican convention was a disaster. And if you think back last week was a long week, but if you think back, that first night was pretty crazy, a lot of booing and stuff.
Right.
We don't want to forget that Melania Trump plagiarized part of her speech from Michelle Obama. Mm-hmm. Bill O'Reilly didn't really think much of that. He said that he didn't see any conflict. He just saw, quote, a bunch of white people having a good time. And I can't figure out if he consciously said that or if that was just what was coming out.
What part of his psyche did it emanate from, right?
Yeah, if that was a slip or if he's just going to own it completely. But
well, it may be that he has a peculiar notion about what constitutes fun.
Oh, yeah. Like some classic rock and a bunch of white people in a hall.
There it is.
there were a lot of reports that came out last week that actually noted the lack of diversity at the RNC.
Yeah, I think I remember the interview with the person in charge of outreach to minorities, particularly African Americans, and I believe that he was complaining about how difficult it was because there was little support for his efforts and not that many people to talk to, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, exactly. We've seen in this election that members of minority groups have really become polarized on Trump. They really don't like the guy. And especially when you've got a platform talking about building, you know, border walls and deporting all these people and stuff, it's kind of plain to see why.
Yeah, and it's quite a contrast because last night, you know, I have to say I've seldom heard such a magnificent and heart-moving speech than what we heard from the First Lady. Michelle Obama was touched my heart incredibly, and I can't imagine that other people watching it from any political point of view could not have been moved by that.
Yeah, that's a... And if you remember back in 2008 and 2012, Michelle Obama has always been a very powerful speaker. Really a joy to listen to. But
worth the plagiarism, I guess, from Melania.
Yeah. We kept joking up here in the office. We were wondering if she was going to rip any of Melania Trump's speech and do that tongue-in-cheek joke. But what really stood out to me about this first night of the convention last night was the really stark contrast. You know, we've got O'Reilly on Fox saying that, you know, he didn't see a problem with the RNC, that it was just like a bunch of white people having fun. But the crowd that, you know, we saw on camera at the DNC and even the speaker's lineup, you know, this wasn't just a bunch of, like, Trump kids up there talking about how great their dad was. This was, you know, people of color, you know, people who are less able. You know, it seemed like a more representative speaker lineup and audience, you know.
Well, I think we have to face the fact that the Republican Party was not at its organizational best at the time of the convention. And the fact of the matter is that I think despite their best efforts, there simply was not the energy or the people power to actually make the statement that they hope to make. I hope they hope to make a different statement, because it seemed to come out as more or less slogans with very little policy prescriptions at all for what they would do in power.
Yeah, and there were a lot of media analysts and whatnot really criticizing the RNC for not having, you know, rock solid, you know, policy proposals or anything, and instead, you know, just saying that they're going to throw Hillary Clinton in jail, and that, you know, painting this really dark, catastrophic picture of America, and almost fear-mongering to a degree.
Well, I think it is fear-mongering, and I believe people are afraid, and I think that fear is based on perhaps things that are fearful in our country, but it needs to be put in perspective and held up against our history, what our country is about, what our hopes are for the country, and if fear is paralyzing, it's not good politics, and it's not good for our country, because we're a can-do country,
I agree. It takes that perspective against the bigger picture, you know, to keep hope and see, you know, a light on the other side of some of these things. But if you just look at it in the moment, you know, it can seem really bleak.
I guess so, except Bill O'Reilly thinks that's how white people have fun, you know? Not this white person, anyway, I'll tell you that.
Oh, man.
So, also the numbers of the Democratic Convention, the number of delegates and so on, were much larger, I think, than the Republican Convention. Do I have that right?
I believe so. I'm pretty sure Democrats have more voting delegates, but don't quote me on that. But if you did watch the video and compare the RNC, there were a lot of reports going around that there was some scheduling problems and stuff that ended up having the auditorium, you know, half empty for some of their, like, largest keynote speakers.
Uh-huh.
But watching the convention last night, it seemed like the place was totally packed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
And, you know, amazingly enough, if we tuned in at 10 o'clock, we got the tail end of Cory Booker, we got Elizabeth Warren, we got Michelle Obama, and we got Bernie Sanders, and a lot of information, I think, and a lot of feeling for what it's like to be at the convention on prime time.
Yeah, for sure. It was a lot. There's a lot of really stark contrast between these conventions that I'm sure will become more evident as the week progresses. And there's also been a lot of stark contrast in how media are talking about this convention, too. So,
hey, Jared, that's why we're glad that you and Media Matters are there to talk about what's going on in the media. We really appreciate your coming on our program and sharing the information with us. And we're going to wind up the segment now, but thank you very much for being part of our show today, and we'll check in again with you later. Jared, how people check out Media Matters on their own?
We have a website, mediamatters.org, and we also have all kinds of social media. So we're on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, I believe. I'm getting the nod, yes. But but it's always a pleasure coming on.
Can't miss it, and we won't miss it again. Thank you so much, Jared.
All right.
You've been listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.